Happy Valentine's Day. You know, I felt so good this week. I said, I'm not going to forget Valentine's Day. So I went out Thursday, and I got stuff. I got her flowers, you know. I got her Whoppers. Sharon likes Whoppers. You know, I asked Joe for advice. I said, Joe, what should I get, Mom? He said, Whoppers. She likes Whoppers. So the little candy Whoppers, you know, you buy. And so I got her a box of Whoppers and a card. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. Then I realized that was 4 days ago. Today's Valentine's Day. I was just sitting there thinking about it. But happy Valentine's Day. And I want to ask a question. I want to start this morning by asking a question. Thank you, Roy. How many of you have faced a difficult situation? How many of you have faced a little difficulty? A lot of difficulty. We have all faced difficulty, haven't we? Or if you haven't, you will, and you know someone who has. Right? I mean, it's just around us all the time. It's inescapable. I just think about this. A phone rings on a Saturday afternoon, and you don't recognize the number, but something in your heart tells you to answer the phone. And you answer it, and the other person on the other line is telling you that your daughter has been involved in a car accident, and she is being transported to Sutter Hospital. That happened yesterday. Just imagine that phone call. The reality is, in life, we never know what's going to happen, do we? We never know. Things can change instantly. Instantly. And we all face these difficult situations. And that is a promise in life. I guarantee you, I can stand up here and say you're going to face difficult situations. I know you are, because we all face them, both big and small. The problem is there's a dangerous thought out there that somewhere, somehow, that has spread through the years that God doesn't want us to suffer. I don't know. I remember helping a young man come to Christ, and things got tough for him. And he said, I thought being a Christian meant life would get easier. In fact, I got a slide up here, Josh. That's kind of like how it is, huh? Everybody thinks that that's just going to be a straight line, you know, it's just your plan. And then you get into life and you see the reality of it. It's a lot of hills and valleys and rainstorms and rocks and all kinds of things to climb up. You know, you're going downhill and uphill all the time. It's never just a straight, easy path. The thing is, the Bible, you pick up your Bible, nowhere will you see anywhere that says life will get easier. Doesn't say that anywhere. At least in my Bible I've read, I haven't seen it. In fact, Jesus himself said, he reminds us when the rain falls, when the rivers rise, when the wind comes. And the one who is left standing is the one who has built their life upon Christ and his teaching. But he says they're coming. He warns us they're coming. This morning, we approach a challenging part of Scripture. If you've never read the book of James, and if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to the book of James, and we're going to focus on chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And then we're going to tie in one there because it's important. But it's a difficult part of Scripture because he says, when you face various trials, to count them as great joy. How do you get there? How do you get into a place where you consider trials joy? Reading this passage has always been difficult for me. And if you've read it, I know it's difficult for you. Because you read that and it almost doesn't make sense, does it? This morning's message is titled Faith and Perseverance, and is focused on James 1 through 4, chapter 1, 1 through 4. And my goal this morning is to give you hope. I hope to give you hope. Hope in Christ, and that you realize just how much God loves you and that you can trust Him in any situation, because every situation has a purpose, even though we might not be able to understand it. God is in control. God is in control. And this whole thing starts with having a right attitude, having a right frame of mind. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and here's what it says. It says, James, a slave of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. I want to give you a little challenge as we're working our way through the book of James, is to read James once a week. I just challenge you to read it once a week. Whenever it is, it's only 5 chapters long, but if you, and I was just out walking and I just listened to it and then read through it too, but I would just encourage you, just find a way just to get James into your thinking. Last week, if you remember, we focused on one word, and that word is the word that James opens his letter with, and it's the word slave. Slave. And it's the Greek word doulos. And if you remember, as we went through the passage, we went through other passages that showed us where Paul said, I'm a slave to Christ, and where Peter said, I'm a slave to Christ. And finally, we saw how Jude, the brother of James, says, I'm also a slave to Christ. And then we went into Philippians 2, and we see where Christ himself emptied himself and assumed the form of a slave. And the key to this is the thought is a slave doesn't live for his own will, but will lives for the will of the master. That's the thought that we have to grab hold on. A slave doesn't have his own will, but lives for the will of his master. To understand the rest of this passage, we have to first surrender our will to the Father. And it's learning to trust Him in everything. Now, I know that doesn't come easy. That is not natural for us, is it? To say we got to give up our will for the will of a Father. Even someone I can't see. How many of you have been in that place? What do you do in that situation? And we've been there. But here he is. He's saying, trust me. Now you know that it doesn't come easy. But there is, what we have to realize is the time that we're spending here is a time that is preparing us for something greater. He's preparing us for a future. And he's making us more and more into the likeness of Christ. And in preparing us for this, in this life, nothing is wasted. He uses every situation to build our faith in him, to fully trust him, which brings us to the text this morning. God is bringing us to align our will with his, and he's bringing us along to trust him more and more because he's preparing us for a future time. And so here we read this text this morning. It says, consider it a great joy. And I'll just read it again so it gets into your mindset. My brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must complete its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Consider it great joy is a command. James is saying, using an imperative here, he's commanding it. It's not an option for James. He's telling you to consider it great joy, which is just amazing when you think about it. What's important, remember that trials are not about what you feel. Trials are not about what you feel, but how you see the world. See, he's aligning our thinking. It's not about what we feel, but it's how we see the world. It's not putting a happy face on and pretending that everything's all right. It's a mindset that James wants us to have. He's preparing our minds and our hearts. James isn't saying that something is going to come easy, but it's a state of mind. It's how you think. And just to give you some comfort, because I know some of you are feeling like, well, that's an impossible thing. This happens over time. Happens over time. And it's not something that we would say, consider it great joy. I wouldn't have walked in a hospital room last night and said to Karen, consider it great joy that you were in a car accident today. I would never say that. Right? We wouldn't say that. But we know in our hearts that God is going to work something for good. When Jesus faced Mary and Martha, and he was told that their brother Lazarus had died in John 11, he didn't tell them immediately that God had a purpose for this. He didn't. What he did was he comforted them and he wept with them. He stood alongside them. How then do we get the point of experiencing pure joy or great joy when we experience trials? When you first read verse 2, we think about the trials we face. I mean, we've all gone through things and we've seen what others have faced. And it's really hard for us to wrap our brains around this. In fact, when I read this, I think about, is the Bible really serious about this? I mean, it really causes me to question. It's only when I start seeing that trials have a purpose can my mindset change. That purpose is to trust God, to trust His sovereignty in all things, and then I can start to see trials in a different light. In your bulletin, I've given you a whole set of verses. And I'm going to take the time and we're going to go through them. And the reason I want to give them to you is I want to put tools in your tool chest. I want to give you something that you can hang on to. But you know why I really want to give them to you? You know, 2 Corinthians reminds us that God comforts us for the purpose of comforting others. He doesn't comfort us for our own comfort. Did you ever think about that? But He comforts us so that we can comfort others. So I want to give you verses this morning in the hopes that they comfort you. But you know what I really hope happens? When you come across somebody that's going through a difficult time, you pull out your Bible and you read these verses to them. And that you show them and you share them. And you can see. So if you have your Bibles, you'll see the verses listed on the back of your bulletin. And so let's just take the time to go through them. Romans 5, let's just start there. You have James 1 through 4, or 2 through 4. Now let's read Romans 5, 1 through 5. And if you don't have your Bible, they're on your bulletin, and just listen to the words. All right, you ready? Romans 5, 1 through 5 says this. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through Him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our afflictions. Because we know that afflictions produce endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. That's an awesome verse. You should mark that in your Bibles and cling to it. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Now listen, when I read this passage to you, I want you to hear Paul's attitude. Listen to what Paul is saying and think about what Paul has gone through. We give no opportunity to stumbling to anyone so that the ministry will not be blamed. And he's writing to the Corinthian church. But as God's ministers, we commend ourselves in everything by great endurance, by affliction, by hardship, by difficulties, by beatings, by imprisonment, by riots, by labor, by sleepless nights, by times of hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the message of truth, by the power of God, through the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and in the left, through glory and through dishonor, through slander and good report, as deceivers yet true, yet as unknown yet recognized, as dying and look, we live, as being disciplined yet not killed, as grieving yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken openly. Corinthians, our heart has been opened wide. Do you hear his attitude in there? No matter what situation Paul faces, he's finding joy in it. It doesn't matter what it is. That's an amazing passage for me to read. Because his heart, if you listen to it, he's saying whatever. Whatever you throw at me, Lord, I'm an open book. I love it. And then we have 2 Peter. Here's Peter saying the same thing. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Jesus our Lord. With divine power, he has given us everything required for life and the godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he's given us every great and precious promise so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption of this world because of its evil desires. For every reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Do you see the same theme? It's endurance and sticking with it, being there. The goal for this life that we live is to be mature in Christ, to be grown up and be able to stand on our own, to be more in his likeness. He is preparing us for a day when all of us will stand before God Almighty. There is a day we're all going to stand there. And this time in this life is to prepare us for that day. You're going to stand before the King. Imagine that day. You just don't walk in. You got to be prepared. It takes a lifetime. He's preparing you for a day. He's preparing you for eternity. Here's where we run into a problem. Here's where we run into a problem. Now, listen carefully. If you think this life is about being successful, to have a nice job, to get a nice raise, to achieve status in the world, to achieve a certain goal, to have a certain family, and I'm not knocking any of those things, but if that's what your life is all about, if you focus our lives on what you achieve, then when trials come against your family, at work, or whatever plans you have made, they will devastate you. Like a house of cards, it'll collapse all around you. And then what do you have? But if your focus is knowing God and trusting he is working on conforming you into his likeness, you can take joy in the trials to know that no matter how tough these trials are, he is moving you towards a goal. He is moving you towards knowing God and fulfilling your purpose. This week, this subject came up in family groups. And it was hard. It's hard to discuss. I mean, because you look at the world and you see all these things happening. Now, how does this fit in God's plan? And there's a lot of doubt. There's no question about it. And these discussions are great. It was a great discussion. It's just another encouragement for you, if you're not in a family group, to get into a family group. Sharon, my wife, who's not here, but she's downstairs working with the kids. If you don't know, Sharon's a veteran. I mean, I fell in love with Sharon when she was in a military uniform carrying an M60 machine gun. That's the Sharon I know. And she's kept me in line all 28 years. But she shared a story. You know, this is another thing. I'll just show it. You know, you could be married to someone and you still hear stories from them. You go, where did that come from? I don't remember that story. I love that. We just keep discovering more and more about each other as we go along. But to fully understand the story, you have to know Sharon's maiden name is Jackson. Her maiden name is Jackson. So here's the story. Sharon told us about basic training. The toughest thing she faced was the obstacle course. If I can talk here for a minute. The obstacle course. She got about halfway through, and it beat her up. She had fell in the water numerous times. She was wore out and muddy. Just wore out. You can see little wet Sharon, 20-year-old, just wore out in her uniform. And the next obstacle she faced was this large vertical wall. If you've never been through an obstacle course, they always have, about halfway through, this huge wall, and it goes up even higher. And you got to climb up this wall. And she saw this vertical wall. And then she saw the only thing that was going to help her get up was this huge rope. And her little hands couldn't even grasp the rope. It was so big and thick. And she's looking at that. And she's thinking, there's no knots in that rope. There's nothing to hang on to. I'm not going to get up that wall. And she, just at the point of quitting, and this large black sergeant was standing up atop that obstacle. And he looked down at her, and he boomed out a voice, Jackson, grab that rope. And his voice scared her. She grabbed onto that rope and started to climb as much as she could. And he grabbed the rope and he pulled her up. Just pulled her right up. Up to the top, put her feet up on the top of the obstacle, and off she went. But she never forgot that. She never forgot that. He just pulled her up, and off she went. When she told the story, I couldn't help but think that God is standing up atop that impossible wall. He's on top of that wall. And just think about it. All the times, he didn't stop you from going all through all the obstacles. He let you get beat up and muddied until you got to the point where you just couldn't take it no more. That wall was just too big. And then he just yells out, grab that rope. Grab that rope. And he pulls him up. He pulls us up. He pulls us. You know, after a few times that happens in life, when are you going to start thinking about it as joy when you face that wall? Because you know the rope's there. And you know who's on the other end. No matter how big it is, you know what's there. But he doesn't let you just get there all clean and nice. He doesn't. You'll be beat up, I promise you, because you got to put faith that he's going to pull you up. But he's got to let you get tired. Because, you know, it's our nature to want to do it on our own, isn't it? It's almost like God's got to let us get to that point where we don't trust ourselves anymore, or not trust ourselves, but we just can't do it. We have to give up, and then he helps us up. Because we're not putting our faith in ourselves, but in him. James is calling us to a whole different way of thinking, a whole different lifestyle. He's calling us to a life that endures trials. He's calling us to see trials as God's way, as growing us and preparing us for a greater life than the one that we have here. He's not trying to fix your circumstances or your problems. He's not. He's going to use them. And he's preparing you for the future. He isn't training you just to get over the next obstacle, but he is training and using the obstacles that you put trust in him, that he's building confidence in him, to trust him, to know him, to be like him. So that when you get to the end, you're lacking nothing. You have complete trust. And you can face death, you can face whatever it is. And no, God's got the rope. Trials become joys when we realize that trials are for the purpose of knowing God. One of the great verses in the Bible that embodies this idea that I cling to, and it's another one that you can share with someone, is Romans 8, 28 through 30. And here's what Paul says. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, so that he would be firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he's also called. And those he is called, he is justified. And those he is justified, he is glorified. This morning, I want you to know God loves you. That no matter what you face, he's there. No matter what you're facing, you are never, ever alone. Ever. This morning, know that God is preparing you for eternity. Understand that everything that happens to you works for good. Even though you can't understand it right now, there is something that God is using it for. Take comfort and consider it great joy when you face various trials. And Jackson, grab that rope. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you are here for us, Lord, when we face various trials. Lord, and right now I just want to pray for the people in this room. Lord, I know that many of them are facing very difficult things. There's cancer, there's death of loved ones, there is watching our children struggle and suffering. There is divorce. There are many things that happen in any congregation. There's a car accident that places our child in the hospital. And Lord, in these situations, I pray you will make your presence known. That you'll be there, Lord. And I know you are. But help us understand just how much you're there and what the purpose of those trials are. That, Lord, you give us the faith to believe that no matter what circumstances we are in, that you're there waiting and helping us and walking with us through them, Lord. And nothing is wasted. Lord, prepare our hearts for being in your presence. Prepare our hearts for knowing you. And Lord, I pray right now if there's anyone in here who has never placed their faith in Christ and Christ alone, I pray right now, Lord, you'd move in their hearts and they would turn to you, repent of their sins, and place their faith in Christ. Christ who died for them, was buried, and he rose again. We put our faith in what Jesus did and not in what we do, but in the grace of Christ. By faith, we are saved. And so, Lord, I pray for that now. And Lord, as we sing Just As I Am, I pray Lord, we would realize we'll place our faith in you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.